What was David surprised to hear? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. As promised, I have another story. It's a follow-on story from the most recent one. Stories for comprehensible input are magical for their ability to help you build your mental image of your target language, in this case, English. Simply put, if you can follow the story and understand what I am telling you about these events and these fictional characters, you will absorb the language. It's a little counterintuitive. We have spent a lot of time in school studying information very explicitly, memorizing things, and we have been taught that that's the way you study. That's the way you learn. In reality, we learn languages much better if we acquire them by listening and then reading. We acquire a lot more language when we listen and read. It is necessary to produce output. It is necessary to speak the target language. But the amount of speaking needed is much less than the amount of input. So here on the Input English channel, we focus on input. Looking back on how I have been acquiring languages over the past several years, the stories have been very precious. The stories contain a lot of concentrated language. So let's get started with this episode. We join David and his girlfriend, Audrey. They have just arrived at David's parents' house. David's parents are Ginger and Bill. At Christmas time, it is customary to give gifts to friends and family members, but David and Audrey are college students. They do not have jobs. So they don't have any income. The money that they have is being provided to them by their families. Because of this, they didn't go out to stores and purchase gifts for other family members. This was understood by their parents, and whether it was discussed or whether it was just understood is not clear to us. But Audrey didn't want to show up at Ginger and Bill's house empty-handed. She wanted to bring something, so she baked cookies. The night before they drove to the parents' house, Audrey baked her favorite recipe of oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. When the cookies were done, she cut one in half and tasted her half. She then presented the other half to David. She told him that she needed to quality control these new cookies. Were they okay to give to the family? Did the batch turn out okay? Now, this question posed to David about the quality of these cookies was a bit of a joke. She knew the cookies were great. She had made that recipe many times. But she made a lighthearted joke about needing his honest opinion as to whether these cookies were any good at all. David responded to her joke with his own lighthearted answer. He thanked her for the half of a cookie, and he assured her that he would give her an honest review of the quality of this batch of cookies. Now, of course, these cookies were delicious, and it took considerable willpower on the part of both David and Audrey to avoid eating more of these delicious cookies. These were for the family. They just split one, for quality control purposes, of course. When they arrived at Ginger and Bill's house, they were greeted. Ginger had noticed the car pulling up, and so the whole family came outside. They didn't take time to put on jackets, and it was very cold, so they all wanted to get into the house quickly. David left the luggage in the car. He would come out and get that later. He wanted to get in the house and greet his family. Audrey was wearing her signature beret to keep her head warm, but also as her fashion statement. She likes wearing a beret. Everyone quickly entered the house, and Audrey presented the cookies to Ginger. She uncovered them and marveled at how beautiful and delicious looking these cookies were. She put them on the table. David had only been home for a few minutes when Ginger said, "Oh, I got a phone call from Dr. Ferguson." This was unexpected. So initially, David didn't understand the context. He was curious what she was talking about. Why would she be telling him about a phone call from Dr. Ferguson? Well, she continued and explained that he had called her on her cell phone a couple of days ago. He had anticipated that David was coming home for Christmas from the university. That is customary in college schedules for people to have a block of time around the holidays in which they go home. Dr. Ferguson issued an invitation through Ginger that David should call the office if he would like to meet and talk about how things are going. Dr. Ferguson had told Ginger that he was going to close the office on Christmas Eve at noon, so that would be a great time if David is free, that they might get together and talk a little bit about the experience now that David is a pre-med student. David very much welcomed this information. First of all, he thought it was very kind that Dr. Ferguson would reach out to him and make such an offer. And second, he considered Dr. Ferguson as a very good advisor. He had been helpful to David in the past, and he welcomed an opportunity to talk to Dr. Ferguson about the pre-med experience, but also the medical school experience and beyond. Dr. Ferguson knows a lot about these things, so David very much wanted to meet with him. In the early afternoon, David called over to the office and left a message with the receptionist that he would like to meet with Dr. Ferguson and the proposed time around noon on Christmas Eve would be fantastic. Later, he got a text that confirmed their meeting time. The house in which the family currently lives is relatively new to them. David had grown up in a different house, a smaller one, in a different neighborhood. He likes the new house, but it's a little unfamiliar. He's going home, but he's going home to the people, not to the house. That's fine with David. After all, the home is where the family is, wherever they are. But David doesn't have a lot of memories about his childhood in this house because it was purchased fairly recently while he was in college. In the living room, there was a Christmas tree, not very large, but nicely decorated with colorful lights. It looked similar to other Christmas trees you might see. Under the tree, there were some Christmas gifts, but not too many. It wasn't a huge display of gifts, just a few. David went out to the car and retrieved the luggage and put the luggage where it needed to go. Audrey will be staying in David's room, and David will be bunking on the couch. Several days of fun, holiday season activities unfolded, and everybody had a great time. On Christmas Eve, just before noon, David went to Dr. Ferguson's office. He was quickly taken back to Dr. Ferguson's personal office, and shortly Dr. Ferguson came in. David stood up and greeted him with a handshake. He immediately thanked him for the invitation. They then settled down for a nice talk. Dr. Ferguson wanted to know how the first semester of pre-med went. How did the grades turn out? He was pleased to hear that all the courses resulted in A's. It was a very successful semester. They talked about how Audrey was very supportive and how Audrey and David had developed a way of balancing their personal life versus strong commitment to learning the material in the classes and getting very good grades. Dr. Ferguson pointed out that that is not an easy balance to find. He said, you know, I always thought of medical school and medical education as kind of an out-of-balance experience. We put so much emphasis on success that it is easy to neglect important aspects of our lives, and it is easy to neglect our partner. He was happy to hear that they had found a balance and that they were happy together, but David was still being very successful in his coursework. David then lamented that he was forming the opinion that all this stuff that he was learning in these classes might be very important and may be required, but he had a feeling that this was information that he would never use in the practice of medicine. His remarks were not in the form of a complaint, rather a philosophical question about how much of this information that he is currently studying as an undergraduate will be of use to him later on. Dr. Ferguson pointed out that he didn't have any answers. He just accepted that this was a necessary step. He pointed out that the pre-med phase of one's education is a bit of a filter. Not everyone makes it through the pre-med curriculum and gets accepted to medical school. He told a story of his own experience as a pre-med at the university. The pre-med advisor was addressing a small auditorium full of pre-med undergraduate students, and he asked for a show of hands who thinks they will get into medical school. All the hands went up. The pre-med advisor then said, "Look to your left. The fellow to your left will probably not get into medical school." People were horrified. He then said, "Look to your right. The person sitting to your right will probably not get into medical school." He summarized this by pointing out that it is necessary to work very hard to build very good credentials to make it through this process. He talked about certain courses in the curriculum as so-called weed-out courses. He said that organic chemistry, embryology, and comparative anatomy are the classic weed-out courses for pre-meds. These are courses that David will be taking in the future. Then Dr. Ferguson said, "I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to paint a picture of why this system has evolved in this way." David understood. Then Dr. Ferguson said, "But every now and then, something you have learned will pop up later in life." He said, "I have a story that illustrates this, and it's fun." Now David was very interested. What could he be learning in undergraduate school that was fun and interesting later in life? Dr. Ferguson pointed out that during his college years at the university, he took a course entitled Determinative Bacteriology. It is a survey of all types of bacteria from A to Z, and it amounted to a lot of memorization of names, chemical characteristics, and whether the bacteria caused a disease. Some bacteria cause diseases in animals, others in humans. Dr. Ferguson described his recollection of determinative bacteriology as a blur. He then shifted his story a couple of years into his future and described his experience as an intern at the hospital. He was an intern going into family medicine, and so the program required him to rotate on different services. He spent time in obstetrics. He spent time in gynecology. He spent time in internal medicine, orthopedics, sports medicine, urology, head and neck. He spent time in all these different specialties as an intern, learning about the diseases and the treatments that each of these specialties are dedicated to. One of his important rotations was pediatrics. After all, a family medicine doctor is going to see and treat a lot of children. He said that unfortunately, the chairman of the pediatric department, for some reason, didn't like young Dr. Ferguson. He didn't know what he had done or said to deserve such treatment, but he had the distinct impression he was very much disliked by the chairman of pediatrics. One day, the pediatric department, had a visiting professor coming in to give a lecture on pediatric infectious diseases. The audience included the chairman in the front row, several of the senior attending physicians, older doctors who were prominent in the department, and then all the residents and interns were sitting behind them. In the back, there were medical students. So all phases of medical education were represented in the audience. The professor had a very interesting lecture to give, and he used a PowerPoint presentation. He went through a lot of diseases and talked about their pathogenesis and how they should be treated. Some of these diseases were common and familiar, but some were much less common. The visiting professor's lecture style was a bit Socratic. He invited answers to questions he was posing to the audience. He would put up an image and then say, "What do you think this is?" and then wait for volunteer answers from the audience. Hands would go up, and then he would call on people and they would offer their answer. Sometimes they were correct, often they were wrong. Of note, the chairman of the department never answered any questions. Later in the presentation, an image was displayed that showed a very small baby, a small child, very red and crying. He posed the question to the audience, "What does this baby have?" To most people in the audience, there were not many clues. It was just a sick baby. Most of the audience was thinking, "Who knows?" Dr. Ferguson, young Dr. Ferguson, then an intern, noticed that this baby had some marks on the skin, very small marks, perhaps wounds. There was no active bleeding. Perhaps they were recent wounds covered in a scab. The other thing he noticed is that the baby was Asian. The facial characteristics suggested that the baby's parents and the baby's heritage was from Asia. At this point, he put two and two together. That's an expression we use to say that we have put all the facts together and come to a conclusion. He put two and two together. Dr. Ferguson, young Dr. Ferguson, the intern, decided that these small wounds or small marks on the skin could be rat bites. So he raised his hand. It was the only hand up, So he was immediately called upon. He said, in the form of a question, "Is this rat bite fever?" Now, this really surprised the visiting professor, because this was rat bite fever. He didn't expect anyone to get that answer right. This part of the lecture became a conversation between the visiting professor and young Dr. Ferguson. The visiting professor continued by asking, "What's the other name for that disease?" Dr. Ferguson responded, "Sudoku." Again, this was surprising. The professor did not expect these answers to be coming from the audience. His experience has been that this disease and this case has stumped all the audiences to which he has presented it. However, we're not done. The professor posed the next question directly to young Dr. Ferguson. He said, "Okay, that's correct. It is Sudoku. This is rat bite fever. What is the pathogen?" He figured that this intern or young resident couldn't possibly know this. You can imagine how surprised he was when the answer came forward, Spirillum minus. During this series of question and answers between the visiting professor and the intern, the chairman of the department turned around in his chair to find out which one of his stellar residents was correctly answering these questions. He knew it was one of his good residents in pediatrics who had studied hard and knew a lot about pediatric infectious disease. The chairman of the department was horrified to see that it was young Dr. Ferguson, the intern, who he did not like at all. After that conference, and for the rest of the rotation, Dr. Ferguson, as an intern, didn't really deal much with the chairman of the department, but he did feel that he was being treated with more respect, more regard, during the rest of his rotation in pediatrics. Upon hearing this, David said that it must have been great to be so knowledgeable on that one thing so as to do well in a conference. Dr. Ferguson said, "Well, it was fun at the moment, and it gave me a nice story, but at the same time, it didn't really define my career. It really didn't matter in the long run. It was just an event in a conference, and I happened to know the information because I memorized it in undergraduate school." He then said, "You know, the same sort of thing happens to medical students. Medical students are in the clinical years. They have amassed a lot of knowledge. They don't have much experience, but they are keen observers. They are very interested in what is going on, and so they really pay attention. They may not know what they're seeing, but they notice things." David was trying to follow the logic, and the story followed. Dr. Ferguson described his experience as a medical student on a general surgery rotation. He was in the intensive care unit on rounds, seeing several patients being cared for by the general surgeons. On rounds, there was the senior surgical attending, the senior resident, the junior resident, the intern, and two medical students. This entourage went from one bed to another, talking about patients, reviewing laboratory studies, examining the patients, and trying to make sure that the care being given was optimal. They asked questions of the nurses in the intensive care unit, how things had gone over the past day, and if the patient was awake, they talked directly to the patient. Some of the patients were not conscious. He described this group coming to the bedside of an elderly lady who was terribly sick. She was doing very badly, and they were concerned that she was going to die, but they didn't know what was wrong with her. Why was she so sick? They looked at the laboratory studies. They talked to the nurses. They reviewed some studies that had been ordered, and they examined the patient. Young Dr. Ferguson, then a medical student in his third year of medical school, was watching this unfold. He had never been in an intensive care unit before that month. This was all very new to him, but he was focused on trying to understand what he was seeing. He was standing right next to the bedside on the patient's left side, and as the more senior doctors were examining the patient, he noticed a bulge in the patient's groin. The groin is a fold where the abdomen meets the upper thigh. Right above that crease in the skin of the groin, there was a lump, but it was fairly subtle. He instinctively put his hand on it to examine it, and it was hard and warm. When there was a lull in the discussion among the more senior doctors, this young medical student, Dr. Ferguson of the future, asked, could it have anything to do with this? And pointed to the lump in the groin. It turns out that no one on the team had noticed this lump. The attending reached over and palpated it. That is, he felt it using his sense of touch to discern its texture, its hardness, its shape and size. He then turned to this medical student, young future Dr. Ferguson, and said, it looks like you're the star of the day. I think she has an incarcerated hernia, and it's probably strangulating some bowel. You have probably made the diagnosis for us. Upon hearing this, David's response was, wow, that really happened? Dr. Ferguson said, yes, that really happened. They took her to the operating room. They resected the dead bowel, and she recovered. It was a big victory, but it gave me a perspective that we need to notice things. We need to pay attention because the answer might be right there in front of us. David loved hearing stories like this. He also liked Dr. Ferguson's style of talking about these things with humility. He was not bragging. He was telling about his experiences without trying to aggrandize himself. In reality, Dr. Ferguson is a very humble man who appears to have a very good perspective about these things. After a while, Dr. Ferguson and David adjourned their meeting. They agreed that David is very much on track. And then Dr. Ferguson gave David his personal cell phone number and invited him to call or text anytime. David thanked him for that courtesy, and they departed. They ended their meeting. The rest of the Christmas holiday at Ginger and Bill's house was very pleasant. Ginger had bought a small gift for Audrey, and it was very tasteful and greatly appreciated. They folded her into the family. They seemed to understand that she's not a casual acquaintance. She appears to be the real deal. The day after Christmas, David and Audrey departed in the afternoon to make the drive to Audrey's home. After they left, Ginger spoke to Bill and said, you know, I really love Audrey. She's amazing. She's very young. She's only 20, but she seems to have an old soul. She has her own kind of quiet wisdom, and she's easy to like. Bill agreed. He said, I don't know where those two are going, but right now they seem to have something quite special. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.